Morning. Today's daf in Brachos daf Chav Tes. We're in the fourth parak. We're finishing up the fourth parak between today and tomorrow. Yes, Hashem, we're going to finish up the fourth parak of Brachos. So that is going to be the first parak that deals with tefillah and the mitzvah of davening. We started with the new Mishnah. We're on Chav Ches Amud Beis, and the Mishnah starts. Rabbi Nechunya ben Akanaya mispalo bechnisa sila beis hamesher shvitziyaso tefillah katsara. So when they're talking about the mitzvah of davening. And so, normally when we talk about tefillah, we're talking about Yud Ches Brachos, or what we call Shemona Esrei, which over the course of this morning we're going to learn is not really 18, it's really 19, as everyone here, I'm sure here knows, but the details to that will come eventually. In the meantime, however, our Mishnah is going to be dealing with another tefillah, and the tefillah is the tefillah walking into the Beis Medrash. So Rav Nechunya ben Akana, so he davened as he entered into the Beis Medrash, and as he exited from the Beis Medrash, and he davened a short davening. So So they say to him, what's the place for this davening? Meaning, what exactly are you davening? So Amar Lahem. So his response is simple. So when I go into the Beis Medrash, I say, look, I hope I really don't make a mistake. I hope I'm good. And then afterwards, when I leave the Beis Medrash, I thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because I have a chelek, I have a portion in Limud HaTorah. Now, Tana Rabbanan, so the Mishnah gave us a very concise form of what exactly the tefillah of Nechunya ben Akana was. So now we're going to have a more expanded version. Tana Rabbanan bechnisa soma uomer. Yihir atzon melfanecha Hashem alokai. So here we have the nusach that we're going to go through the entire nusach of tefillah of Nechunya ben Akana. So maybe Kadosh Baruch Hu shalom yir adavar tekala yadiz. I have no stumbling block below a chashab adavar, and I don't stumble b'dvar halacha and any matter of halacha. V'yismechu bi chaverai, and I should want all my friends to be happy with me. In other words, he's certainly not looking for social consent. When he says that he wants his friends to be happy, meaning in agreement, meaning that whatever I say will be agreed to by the masses. V'lo omer al tami tarva al tara tami, and I hope I don't make any gross type of error where I point to something which is tamei, and I say, oh, that's tahor, or vice versa. V'lo yichashul chavera b'dvar halacha. And not only do I hope that my learning goes correctly and smoothly, but I wish the same upon my friends as well.
V'esmach...
Correct. Correct. They didn't make it up. Nusach comes straight out of the Gemara. V'esmach behem, and I'll be happy with them as well. Right? Some people are happy with their own learning, but not necessarily happy for other people's learning. I'd like to be happy for myself and for the others as well. It's a maila. So now, as he exited the Beis Medrash, what does he say? So this is going to sound familiar. Moda ani lefanecha Hashem alkai shesamti chalkim yoshvei Beis Medrash v'lo samti chalkim yoshvei karanos. So I would like my portion to be amongst those who are in the Beis Medrash and not those who are sitting in the corner, on the corners. Shani mashkim hey mashkim I wake up early. They also wake up early. Ani mashkim l'divrei Torah v'hei mashkim l'divarim b'telem. But I wake up early in order to learn Torah, and they wake up early to do b'divarim b'telem. Ani amel v'hei amelim. I'm working and they're working. Ani amel mekabel schar v'hei amelim ve'ena mekablim schar. I work, I get reward. They work and they don't get reward. We all know it's the vort said over and again and again. In other words, our points are amassed for simply trying, meaning we get points for trying. So in other words, we come to shir, we hear shir, we understand, we don't understand. In other words, we do get points for trying. So, but outside in the outside world, there are no points for trying, right? We just experienced the Olympics. So you know, in other words, you tried very hard, that's very nice, but if you're not the first three who came in first, so you didn't win.
But the students say,
yeah.
That doesn't mean
anything. Right. Ani ratz v'heim ratz them. Ani ratz. And meanwhile, I'm running in one direction to chayal amaba, and they're running in the other direction. Tan rabbanan. Kishachal Rabbi Eliezer nichnasu tamidav levakro. Rabbi Eliezer is sick, and in comes the talmidim. Amar lo rabbeinu lamanu orchos chayim v'nizgeh b'hem l'chaye ha'olam haba. So, could you tell us how to live a proper life? So Amar Lahem, so his response is as follows. He's har b'chvod chaverechem. Okay, so some of these are going to be intuitive and some of these are not going to be intuitive. So let me put this under the category of intuitive. So be respectful of your friends. Okay? Umanu b'nechem min ha'higayon. Here comes one that's not intuitive. And I want you to make sure that your sons don't get involved in higayon. Now, take a look at Rashi. It's an interesting Rashi. Higayon, it's the fourth line from the top of the page, fourth wide line, it's the top of Rashi. Higayon, lo targilum b'mikra yosir midai, mishum demashcha. 20. It's like in the yeshiva world, it's like they must put this Rashi up like on the front as like a banner, right? Not too much Tanakh, meaning because if you give them too much Tanakh and they read too much Tanakh, they're going to get drawn after the Tanakh. So in other words, I want them to learn Torah Sheba'al Peh, and you know, you need to learn Tanakh, but keep that at a minimum. That's Rashi of Higayon. Now Rashi does offer another pshat, to be fair and to be honest. Lashon acher misichas yeladim. Don't engage in childish talk, and get your children not to talk childishly as well. Okay, that's the second piece of advice. We're back to the Gemara. Sorry. I'm back. And make sure to sit them amongst the knees of Tamidei Chachamim. In other words, their company should be Rebbeim and Tamidei Chachamim. Now when you daven, so just have one thing in mind. And it's very simple. Just know who you're davening in front of. And if you follow this very simple step-by-step process, so you're going to get a portion in the world to come. The Gemara here tells us a very famous, popular story of Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai and his deathbed. And the students are coming in. Kevin Shara'a Osam Hischo Levakos. And he sees the students, and Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai starts to cry. Amar lo tamidav. Now his students do not understand this, the reaction of his Rebbe when they come in. And they refer to the Rebbe in the most beautiful of terms. Ner Yisrael, you are the light of Israel. Amod hayimini, you are the right pillar. Rashi points out that there were two pillars that Shlomo built in the Ulam, in the antechamber. The pillar on the right was called Yachin. The pillar on the left was called Boaz. Perhaps you're familiar with these terms, not because we know Tanakh, but it's okay. The Rashi before said we don't have to know Tanakh that well. I'm joking. But not because we know Tanakh, but because one of the more famous commentaries on the Mishnayos is by Rav Yisrael Lifshitz, the Tiferes Yisrael, and by one of the commentaries, he divided into two sections. One he called Yachin, and the other one he called Boaz. Okay, Yachin or Boaz. So Amoda Yemini. So they said to Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai, you're not just the pillar, you're the right pillar. Right? The Rashi says that's a stronger one. Patish HaChazak, you're the strong hammer. Okay, this is how they refer to the Rebbe. So in other words, Rebbe, I don't understand crying. You're not a crier. You're a strong man. So Mipnei Ma Ata Bocha. So why are you crying? Amalemi Luluf Nemelach Basav Adam Ani Hayumahachinosi Shehayom Kan Umachar Bakever Shim Koes Alayin Kaso Kas Olam Vimosrani Ein Isuro Isur Olam Vimimisani Ein Misaso Misas Olam. Look, if you send me in front of a regular king, first of all, he's mortal, he's flesh and blood, who knows if he's going to live tomorrow. And even if he gets angry, you stay angry forever. And even if he puts me in jail, you're in jail forever. And even if he kills me, is that even permanent? And furthermore, if I was just going in front of a regular king, you know, there is appeasement. There's something called bribery, meaning I could handle if you just sent me in front of a regular king. However, Alpha Pikena Isaboche. And even then, I may cry. By the way, Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai did visit a king. Right? Everyone here remembers the story in Gittin. The story in Gittin is that as they laid a siege around Yerushalayim, so what he did is he feigned death. And then he lied in a coffin. And he was transported, exported outside of Yerushalayim, smuggled out of Yerushalayim in the coffin. And who did he meet? So he met the future king of the Roman Empire. So in other words, he has experience with meeting kings. And he says, and you know what? I may even cry. Maybe. But now, I'm not going to a king, I'm going to the king. So for him, everything is forever. There is no finite definition of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Shim koes alai kaso kaso olam. V'imosrani yisro yisro olam. So if he's angry, that's a permanent anger. And if I'm in prison, that's a permanent prison. Misaso misas olam. And it's a permanent death. And there's no appeasement over here. And then there's no bribery over here. And I know that there are two paths that I'm looking at right now. One is of Gan Eden, and the other is Gehenim. The Eini Yodea Be'ezi Molichem Osi. and I don't know which path I'm going to go down. So now let me ask you this. My reaction. It's a pretty explainable reaction. It's okay if I'm crying right now. I have a good reason to cry. Now, at this point in time, you have to wonder, meaning Rav Yochim and Zakkai, the leader of the Jewish people, tzaddik, part of the Masorah, meaning to what degree is he, and I understand that we all suffer from questioning ourselves and doubting ourselves, but to the degree in which he literally says, I mean, we just read in the Gemara, I don't know which path I'm going to go down, and presenting himself the two extremes of Gan Eden versus Gehenim, it's very difficult to understand, meaning there seems to be no gradations in his choices.
I think he wanted to impress his students. For himself, he said it, but basically
it was... Okay, so that's a good response. Yeah. Right, this wasn't for himself, this was just a form of chinuch. I heard this now, I don't know who to quote over here, because I've heard this from various sources, but perhaps one of the things that really... It was like one of his, I guess, personal demons, if you will, is when he didn't meet with the Caesar, with the Roman Caesar, the future Roman Caesar. So he had his ear and he had his audience and he had his attention, and he asked for three things, right? Remember the Gemara in Gittin? So one of the three things that he asked for is Tainli Yavne v'Chachmea. So I'd like to resurrect, but I like the city of Yavne, so I can establish a yeshiva in Yavne. Meaning, I know Yerushalayim is destroyed, and I know that's over. So let's move out to Yavne and let's establish a yeshiva in Yavne. Okay, Kerem B'Yavne. So one of the things, and they asked him, the Gemara there says, why didn't you ask for Yerushalayim? So he felt, well, I don't know. In other words, I didn't think I was going to get that. And perhaps I've heard people suggest this. This is speculation that, in other words, it really bothered him. Meaning, maybe he didn't ask properly from the Roman Emperor, and maybe he should have asked for Yerushalayim. Okay, but maybe. Amarlo Rabbeinu Barchenu. So they said to Rav Yochim and Zakkai, okay, give us a bracha. Amarlehem Yiratzon Shetei Mara Shamayim Alechem Kamor Basav Adam. I hope you fear Hashem as much as you fear another human being. To which they said, what? Did we hear you correctly? Amar lo tamid of Ad Khan? What do you mean? Shouldn't we be fearing Hashem more than we fear another person? Amar lahem levai teidu kishadam over avera omer shelo yireni adam. So Rav Yochim and Zakkai basically says, it's a good start. Meaning, look, right? You're doing something wrong. You know you're doing something that you shouldn't be doing. Right, you turn your shoulder over to see if anyone's looking. Meaning we have a natural intuitive fear of other people. Right? So if you fear Hashem to that degree, in other words, if Hashem for you is as that real as the person looking over your shoulder, that's a very good start. Bishas Patir so Amalahem Panu Kalim Ibn Atuma. Vihechinu Kise Lechizkiel Melch Yehuda Shabbat. And right before he dies, he gives two instructions. Number one, right, there's going to be a mace in this room momentarily as he's about to die. So he says, I would like all the kalim in this room to be removed so they do not become tamei. Okay, this is his state of mind right before he dies. It's unbelievable clarity. And on top of that, he says, I'm going to be escorted. And I'm going to be escorted by Chizkiyahu HaMelech. Now, why specifically Chizkiyahu? So I don't have a good explanation. But I'm going to be escorted by Chizkiyahu, so prepare a chair right alongside me so that Chizkiyahu can come, sit down, and then escort me as he's going to lead me into the next stage of my life.
The commentary says that he was a descendant.
Okay, good. Who does he quote? Rav Sajagon. Okay, good. All right. Okay, good. At least I have a good reason why I never saw that. Okay, good. All right. Rabbi Gamliel Omer, we start the next mission. Rabbi Gamliel Omer, b'chol yom v'yom ispala adam shmona esrei. Okay, and now we get to tefillah. Now we say tefillah, so tefillah for us means shmona esrei, meaning what we do before shmona esrei is warm up. All right, psukah d'zimra is to just get us into the right frame of mind. It's a mitzvah to say psukah d'zimra. It's to get us into a right frame of mind. And then we have Shema. Shema, of course, is a mitzvah that we've been discussing the first three parakim of brachos. And we have the brachos of Shema, two before and one after in the morning, two before and two after in the evening. And then after Shema, then we want to be somech geula l'tfilah, and now we start davening. Now, I quoted the Rashi earlier in the Masechta, and Rashi said that Shema is a declaration. It's an affirmation statement, but you're not talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But when it comes time now for Shmona Esrei, you are actually engaged in a discussion with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You are lifnei melech, malchei hamlachim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're before God, and you're speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so now the Gemara says, so what exactly is going to be the format and the formula? Now I mentioned this a number of times already, but it bears repeating. A davening in of itself, tefillah in of itself, is it a mitzvah d'oraisa or it's a mitzvah d'rabbanan? So that's a basic machlokus between the Rambam and the Ramban. The Rambam is of the opinion that davening is a mitzvah d'oraisa. The Ramban says that davening is a mitzvah d'rabbanan. Okay? And the Gemara back on Dav Chaf, we discussed this a little bit back then. It's subject to a discussion of, I mean, the Gemara says already a number of times that davening is a derabbanan, not a daraisa, and that is difficult for the Rambam. The Rambam would have difficulty with those Gemaras. He doesn't address, but okay. Even according to the Rambam, where mitzvah davening is a mitzvah daraisa, but that just simply means speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on a daily basis. What you're supposed to say, when you're supposed to say it, what language are you supposed to speak in, that even according to the Rambam is all derabbanan. Right, the Rambam would tell you that the Nusach and the Matbeya and the Zmanim, that's all the Rabbanan. So now that you know that, in other words, so one Shmona Esrei, according to everybody, Shmona Esrei itself, meaning the Iker requirement to daven, so that's debatable. But the Shmona Esrei itself, the Nusach HaTfilah that we daven every day, that's the Rabbanan. And I say that by way of introduction because you're going to see now, the question basically on the table is, do you have to daven Shmona Esrei every day? You have to say the full Shmona Esrei. When I say the full, it's what we do. In other words, not only are there 18 brachas, but 18 brachas with details in every bracha, an introductory paragraph followed then by the closing bracha for all 18 brachas. Do you have to do that every day? Can you say an abridged version of davening every day? So this is what we're going to be discussing over the course of our Mishnah and the upcoming Gemara. Rabban Gamliel Omer b'chol yom v'yom mispal ad Shmona Esrei. So Rabban Gamliel says that he would daven every day the full Shmona Esrei. Rabbi Yeshua Omer Amen Yudches. Rabbi Yeshua says, not the full Shmona Esrei, an abridged version of Shmona Esrei, a modified version. Stay tuned, we'll discuss. Rabbi Kiva Omer im shkur b'tfilas b'fiv mitpal yudches v'yom lav me'en yudches. Rabbi Kiva comes to some sort of compromise position. Look, if you're fluent and fluid in Shmona Esrei, so say the full Shmona Esrei. And if not, so then you could say the abridged version. Rabbi Lazar Omer Osa Tfilas Kevin Tfilas Tachanonim. Rabbi Lazar says, if you make your tefillah keva, so then that's not considered a good davening. It is not a davening of supplication. So what does keva mean? Stay tuned. The Gemara is going to offer, I think, about a half a dozen explanations of what that means. So stay tuned. Rabbi Yeshua Omer Ha'olech Mamakam Sekarim Esfal Tfilah Katsara. Rabbi Yehoshua says that if you're going to a place where it's very dangerous, so it's appropriate at that point in time to say a tefillah katsara, a very short davening. Va'omer, Hosha Hashem Atzamcha Esh She'eretz Yisrael B'chol Parshas Ha'abor, or Ha'ibor. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please save the remnants of the Jewish people wherever they are. Now, what exactly Parshas Ha'abor means, stay tuned, because the Gemara later on will explain that as well. Yutzar Chehem Lefanecha. And all their needs should be met in front of you. Bruch atah Hashem shomei tefillah. So that's a very truncated, shortened version of the davening that you should say if you're going makom sakana. I will also point out the Ramban, who I just quoted a couple minutes ago, who says that davening is a derabbanan. The Ramban concedes that if it's an eight sarah, if it's a time of great need, so he will concede now at that point in time, you have a positive mitzvah obligation, a Torah obligation to daven. So this little davening, short little davening, that is brought to us by Rabbi Yehoshua, when you're b'makom sakana, so could be that this is the araisa version of, if you're in great danger, this is what you need to say. Now, if you're on a donkey, so the best thing to do is get off the donkey. To daven on the donkey, that's going to be difficult for your kavana. So the best thing to do is to get off the donkey. However, but if you can't get off the donkey, meaning, as Rashi explains, meaning to get off the donkey, no one there is to hold the donkey, you have nothing to tie the donkey to. So by you getting off the donkey, you may lose the donkey, and you're in the middle of nowhere, so stay on the donkey. So what you should do is you should turn into the direction of Yerushalayim. We dive in towards Yerushalayim. And if you can't turn your head at the time, meaning you have to look where you're driving. Okay? It's crazy. I know we don't need to look when we're driving. We all text when we drive. So it's clear that we don't need to look when we're driving. But if you want to look where you're driving, okay, so fine. So look in the direction that you're going. But at least have in mind, I'm davening towards Yerushalayim. If you're on a boat, if you're on an Azda, Azda basically Rashi says, Rashi gives a description of what basically is a very simple raft, right? A bunch of twigs and logs that are tied together, floating on the river. Sounds like what Rashi is describing as a raft. So if you're on a boat or on a raft, so I would like you to at least be mechavin libo. In other words, you got to look where you're going. I understand. But in your heart, you should think to yourself, I'm davening towards Yerushalayim. Okay. Hani yudches keneged me. Now we have Shmona Esrei, meaning the format and formula of davening is yudches brachos, is 18 brachos. And I know that there's a 19th, and we'll actually discuss that momentarily. Now, first of all, who put it together? So the Rambam tells us, I mean, it doesn't come out of this Gemara over here. The Gemara Megillah discusses it. It's the Anshei Knesset HaGadola, the men of the Great Assembly. We come back in to build the Beit Shein of the Second Temple. And they are the last of the Nevi'im. Ezra, Nehemiah, it's the last. Meaning from that point forward, there is no longer any more Nevuah. So as a almost like a last act of Nevi'im, so they put together for us Yudchad Brachos, the Shmona Esrei, and the Nusach of the Shmona Esrei. Now there is slight variation of Shmona Esrei amongst the Ashkenazim and the Sephardim and the Taimanim and the Nusach Ari, and there are slight variations. But the basic outline of the Yudchad Brachos is essentially the same, and this was formulated by the Anshei Knesset HaGadola, the men of the Great Assembly. So really, what the Gemara is about to do is give us Ramazim, like hints and allusions of why the number 18, how come 18. So really, this is just scratching the surface, meaning we're not going to really get any type of depth over here in terms of understanding. You can go deeper in the Gemara, and I recommend that we all try to do it, but right now, these are just Ramazim. These are just kind of hints and allusions. Hani Yudches Keneged Me, why are there 18 brachas in Shmona Esrei? Am Rav Hillel Bered, Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmini Keneged Yudches Haskar Shamar David Bahavel Hashem B'nei Eilim. Right, the Mizmor of David, Mizmor Pei Gimel, where Havel Hashem B'nei Eilim, we're familiar with it, we say it on Shabbos. So it has Hashem's name in it 18 times. So to correspond to the 18 brachas of Shmona Esrei. Rav Yosef Amar Keneged Yudches Haskaros B'Kriya Shema, 18 times HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name is mentioned in Kriya Shema. Amar Rabbi Tanchon Amar Rav Yeshua Ben Levi Keneged Shmona Esrei Chulio Shebeshedra, 18 vertebrae in the body of a human being. Amar Rabbi Tanchon Amar Rav Yeshua Ben Levi Mespal Tzarech Sheyichare Achis Pakaku Kol Chulio Shebeshedra. When you bow in Shmona Esrei, there are two brachos in which you need to bow in the Shmona Esrei. The first bracha of Shmona Esrei and the second to last bracha of Shmona Esrei. So the two times that we bow in Shmona Esrei. So you have to bow all the way down to the point where you can actually see the vertebrae popping up from the back. Ula Amrat Kedeshira Isser Keneged Libo. Rabbi Ula says, until you see an Isser opposite your heart, meaning that when you bow down, it creates folds over your stomach. I know some of us are blessed to have the folds even before we bow down. But you create folds over your stomach. So that you are low enough so you have what Rashi describes as a kamatim. Rabbi Chanina Amar Kevin Shenane Rosho Shuvei Nutzarech. Now Rabbi Chanina says, you put your head down and that will be sufficient. Amar Rav Avuhuda Mitzar Nafshei. Now, Rava says here, just putting your head down, you have to at least look like you're exerting a little bit. Meaning, in other words, it sounds like from the Gemara, the best thing to do is to make a full bow. Okay? That's the proper way to bow in the Shmona Esrei. But this, so to say, more lax way of bowing, you have to at least exert yourself. And at least look like this is as far down as I can go. I can't go down any further. So the Gemara asks the question, which I've alluded to already a number of times, we're all familiar. It's not really Shmona Esrei. We call it Shmona Esrei. It once upon a time was Shmona Esrei, but now it's 19. So how did that happen? Amar Rebbe Levi Birchas Hatzidukin B'Yavne Tiknuha. So as we all know, there is the bracha of the Tzedukim. Right, we say Ashkenazim say v'lam al shenim, Sfarim say laminim, whatever the nusach is, it is a bracha inserted over there against the tzedukim. Now, as we know, now you understand now that there is approximately a 400-year difference between when Shmoneh Esrei was originally instituted by Anshei Knesset HaGedolah in the beginning of the Second Temple, and now the addition of this bracha comes at pretty much the end of the Second Temple period. So you're talking about 4 centuries of history where Shmoneh Esrei was in fact just Shmoneh Esrei. Now, the history, I'm not the historian, right? I'm barely a guy who could say the Daf Yomi, but the history is at the towards the end of the Second Temple, so you had all these different types of heretical groups, right? Essenes, Sadukim, Baitusim, so you had many heretical groups who really were coming to undermine the very foundation of Torah Shebaal Peh. And basically they came to Torah Shebichsav, the written word, fine. But Torah Shebaal Peh, so they wanted to undo it. And so it really was, it was much more than just simply another nation coming along and trying to destroy us. It was really destruction from within. And so the fight that they were fighting at the end of the Second Temple, in addition to the Romans, who were trying to destroy and successfully destroy the temple, but in addition to that, you also had groups of Jewish people who were trying to undermine Torah Shebaal Peh. And so it got to the point where, even though, and it's rather remarkable, even though Shmoneh Esrei is codified, Anshei Knesset HaGedolah instituted it, and they did it al pi nevuah, so because this was such a serious moment in our history, they actually added another bracha in Shmoneh Esrei as a way of us asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to please help us in the fight against these heretical groups. So, and the Gemara here gives us a little bit of detail, not really a lot. So, Bircha said, Tzedukim Yavne Tiknuha. Kenegin Mi Tiknuha. So, I'm Rabbi Levin, Le Rabbi Hillel, Rabbi Dershmo, I'm sorry, Bered Rabbi Shmuel, Bar Nachmeni, Kenegin. Now, here's what the Gemara is going to do. Meaning, if you remember, just a moment ago, we had 3 Ramazim in terms of where we got to Shmoneh Esrei. Now, as I mentioned, they're Ramazim. They're hints and allegations. They're not the real sources. The real sources comes up in Nevuas Ezra. But as long as you are working with these Ramazim, so where is it nirmaz? Where is it hinted to this 19th bracha? So we have 3 Ramazim, so we have to address all 3. So Am Rabbi Levi, Rabbi Hillel, Bered, Rabbi Shmuel, Bar Nachmeni, Keneged, Kel HaKavod Hirim. So that's not Shem Hashem in the classic Yudke Vavke. But Kel isn't one of the names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so there is a even subtle, more subtle remez to the 19th bracha. L'Rav Yosef keneged Echad shebekriyat Shema. Now, according to Rav Yosef, you'll find Hashem's name 18 times in Kriyat Shema. So where are you going to get the 19th, which justified the addition of the 19th bracha in Shmoneh Esrei? The word Echad. Shema Yisrael Hashem Akeinu Hashem Echad. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Echad, he's singular. In fact, one of the purposes of Shema Yisrael is to be Miyachet Shem Hashem, is to come to the understanding that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one entity. So, Echad is another allusion to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, what about the 18 brachas corresponding to the 18th vertebrae? There's a very small 19th vertebrae. I didn't corroborate. So we have another braisa. Now this is, we're going to repeat this again in Megillah, in Masechta Megillah. So Shimon Apikuli, so he was a cotton picker, a cotton seller, something to do with cotton. So he put together, he formulated the 18 brachas in front of Rabbi Gamliel in Yavne. Now, as we're all familiar, that's strange, meaning Yavne, that's the end of the second temple. As I tried to explain earlier, the Yudches Bracha, Shmoneh Esrei, comes at the beginning of the second temple. So Amalam Rami Gamliel Chacham and Klum Yeshadim Shadel Asakin Brachas of Tzedukim. Now, does Rami Gamliel asks, does anyone know how this 19th Bracha, against the Tzedukim? Amad Shmuel HaKatan V'tikna. Shmuel HaKatan was the one who put together the 19th bracha. Okay. Now, by the way, let me just, I asked a question, I didn't give any type of satisfactory answer. Meaning, what are we doing, putting Shmoneh Esrei together, in Yavne, Rabban Gamliel, after destruction of the temple, It's been around now for 400 years. So what are they doing organizing Shemona Esrei at this point in time? The Gemara in Megillah asks this very question. And the Gemara in Megillah says that it came to a point historically where they lost it a little bit. Meaning, it was pretty much, disuse. I'm not sure if that's the right word, but they did lose it. Others over there in Megillah explain, I'm going on memory right now, I didn't look it up, that really what he was trying to do is explain the sequence of the brachas, meaning we all knew the Shemona Esrei, we just had a better understanding sequentially, why do we go from bracha A to bracha B to bracha C, meaning what is the link that goes from one to the next. Okay. Anyway, we're on the very bottom of Chav Ches Amud Beis, we're continuing in the Gemara, so Shmuel HaKatan comes along and he puts together the 19th bracha for Shemona Esrei. This was authored and written in the time of Rabbi Gamliel and Yavne. Now, strange story. Next year, the composer of the 19th bracha, not just anybody, the composer of the 19th bracha, so he's davening Shemona Esrei, he's davening for the Amud, and he forgets. He forgets the nusach of this bracha. Now, 2 to 3 hours, he's struggling to remember the Shemona Esrei. Now, I love the patience of the tzibur at that point in time, because nowadays, I don't see this here in the shul. Okay, maybe once. But in other words, a mistake, the smallest mistake by the Shlich Tzibur, and wow. Wow. And so here you have the author of this 19th bracha now saying the Shemona Esrei, presumably he's davening for the Amud, and for 2 to 3 hours, or maybe it felt like 2 to 3 hours, he's trying to reconstruct in his head this bracha. V'lo ha'alu amaylo ha'alu. I'm sorry, v'lo ha'alu. And oh, by the way, they didn't pick him up from the pit. You know, back in the good old days, the Shliach Tzibur davened in a pit. Right, mimama kim kerasicha Hashem. So the old minog was is that they had a pit and the Shliach Tzibur went in the pit. Nowadays it's like we do the opposite. We put them up on the bima. Right. Okay, I know. it's whatever. In a number of shuls, I actually saw. I grew up in a small little town in New Jersey, Livingston, and West Orange. In West Orange, they did it. They basically constructed a pit and whatever. In other words, he died from the low part of the shul. So. So they didn't pick him up, meaning they didn't take him away from his amud. They kept him at the amud. Now, amaylo ha'aluhu, v'amar av yura amarav tavol b'chol ha'brachos kulan ein malin oso. Look, if you have a shliach tzibur and he makes a mistake on any one of the brachas, see, you don't take the hook and you don't yank him. Okay? In of itself, it's good for us to hear that. But b'birchas ha'tzidukin malin oso. But if he makes a mistake in birchas ha'tzidukim, so you take the hook and yank him right away. Because you got to remember that this was an extraordinarily sensitive and controversial topic. Where, in other words, we instituted a bracha because there are other Jews out there who had heretical thoughts. And it could very well be that the guy davening for the Amud right now happens to be a tzeduki. So can you now imagine, here's a tzeduki getting up and davening for the Amud, and he gets to a bracha that basically speaks ill about himself. So his tendency would be, you know what, this bracha, let me just go right by it. So in other words, it was almost like a telltale sign that this guy davening for the Amud, he's a tzeduki if he's refusing to say this bracha. So the halacha is, if you have a guy up there, and he's getting to the bracha of tzeduki, and he doesn't know how to say it, or he's making mistakes in it, you know what? Yank him. Not because he made a mistake, we all make mistakes, but because now we have a good reason to suspect that he's a tzeduki.
Correct.
In other words, I don't know if I'm doing a justice in terms of explaining how sensitive this issue was in the time of the temple, meaning they infiltrated, meaning tzedukim were part of the fabric of the Jewish people, and it was destruction from within. So the Gemara says, so now, why didn't they remove Shmuel HaKatan, who was struggling with this bracha? If had it been anybody else, we would have yanked him right there on the spot. So Shani Shmuel HaKatan, you attack Taknei. So the Gemara says, okay, him will give the Kurd the benefit of the doubt, because he's the one who composed and authored the bracha. The Gemara says, okay, but look, right, people are strange. Okay? and the human being is so complicated. And you could very well be that, yes, the same person who composed it at a later point in his life is the same person who basically said, you know what? I now am a tzaduki. Meaning, it's just the way of the world, and Bechir Chavshim, we all have the freedom of choice. And why not suspect that maybe he turned? So Amr, Abaye Gemiri, Tava lo Havabisha. So Abaye, interesting. Abaye says, no, we have the following tradition. When a person's good, we have a tradition, he never goes bad. Gemara says, V'lo, what? Really? Pasuk in Yecheskel says that you can have a tzaddik who goes bad. Ha'u Rasha Mikara. The Gemara says, well, no, maybe that's talking about somebody who started as a Rasha, becomes a Baal Tshuva and is good. You know what? He's Tom Tom Isser. He tasted the taste of Isser. Maybe he'll go back. Avot Tzadik Mikara Lo. But if somebody who's a Tzadik from the time that he's born, no. V'lo, the Gemara says, really? That's also true. V'hatanan, Al Tamin Batzmechad Yom Osecha. Share Yochanan Kohen Gadol Shemesh Bekuna Gedola. Shmonim Shana. Ula v'sof naset tzeduki. The Gemara says, I'm going to show you somebody, Yochanan Kohen Gadol. 80 years served as a Kohen Gadol, and then he turned into a tzeduki. So it's possible that you can have somebody at tzaddik his whole life, and not someone who, you know, not someone who is, you know, at a later point in his life came around. Tzaddik his whole life, he can also go bad. So Amar Abaye Hu Yana Hu Yochanan. So Abaye says, nah, you know what? He wasn't a tzaddik his whole life. You know who that was? That was Yanai. Now, Yanai HaMelech, stay tuned, 7th parak of Brachos. We are going to get a Yanai story, the likes of which is going to be hard to imagine. 7th parak of Brachos coming up later on. The Gemara in Kiddushin tells us that Yanai, one point in his life was a Kohen Gadol, another point in his life becomes a king. He was the brother-in-law of Shimon ben Shetach. And oh, by the way, he killed all the chachamim of his generation. Okay. Not the nicest of people. So, hu Yanai, hu Yochanan. So, Rava Amar Yanai l'chun v'Yochanan l'chun, and Rava disagrees. No, they're two different people. Yanai Rasha Mikar v'Yochanan Tzadik Mikaro. So, and I'm telling you, Yochanan was a tzaddik from the time that he was born. So, hani chalabai l'Rava Kasha. So good. So, the Gemara now says like this. Look, it seems to be, what an interesting debate between Abaye and Rava. If you have somebody who's a tzaddik from the time that he's born, and now he's gone through a good part of his life being a tzaddik, is he going to spoil? It seems to be that that's a machlokus between Abaye and Rava. Okay, I don't know how else to say it. But it sounds like we're having a debate over here on that very issue, where Abaye basically says, nah, we have a tradition. He's not going to go bad. What about Yanai? Yanai and Yochanan are two different people. Okay? Tzaddik Mikar is not going to go bad. And Rava disagrees on that very premise. So it seems to be that that is subject to a debate. Okay. Now, if you take the Rava position, that even if you're good, and even if you were good your whole life, there's still a chance later in life you're going to go bad. So if that's true, so we're back to square one. So you have now Shmuel HaKatan standing at the Amud and fumfording his way through the bracha of the Lamal Shinim. So why don't we not yank him? And maybe he turned into a tzeduki. And why not yank him? Amal Charava Tzadik Mikar Nami Demahadabe. Yach Amai Lo Askuhu Shani Shmuel Hakatan De Aschoba. De Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Vitemar Rav Yeshua Ben Levi Lo Shana Lo Shol Aschoba. Ava Aschoba Gomra. This halacha that somebody who doesn't say the bracha of Lamal Shinim and you yank him, that's only if he doesn't start the bracha. Meaning, if he is such a believer in the tzeduki ways, he can't even start the bracha. So you yank him right there on the spot. But if he started the bracha, and now, he's just right, he's getting stuck on some of the parts, that's understandable. Look, it's a relatively new bracha anyway. I know for us it's not so new. But it's a relatively new bracha anyway. So he starts it, and he's trotting his way through, and he's just stumbling, that's okay. And that's what happened with Shmuel HaKatan. He started it, but he just couldn't make his way through. Hani Sheva Deshabasa Kenegin Mi. More Ramazim. Hints and allusions in terms of this format and formula for brachos. So Shabbos, we get a break. We don't have to say 18/19 brachos on Shabbos. The middle brachos are removed. The 13 middle brachos are removed and replaced with only one bracha about Kedushas Hayom. So on Shabbos, we now have a total of 7 brachos. Am Rabbi Chalafta ben Shalak, Neged Shiva Kolo, Shamar David, Al Hamayim. So Right, Kol Hashem al Amayim. So there are seven kolos mentioned in that. That corresponds to the seven brachos of Shabbos. The Shemoneh Esrei of Shabbos. Hani Tisha the Rosh Hashanah keneged me. What about nine brachos of Rosh Hashanah? Amar Rav Yitzchak the Minkar Tignon keneged Tisha Askar Shamar Chana Betfilasa. Da Amar Mar Rosh Hashanah Nifkad Asar Racha Vechana. On Rosh Hashanah, three women were remembered. Three women who were barren were remembered on Rosh Hashanah and conceived at that time. Sarah, Rachel, and Chana. Chana had a tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Read it up in Sefer Shmuel, the beginning of Sefer Shmuel. And in that tefillah, nine times does she say Shem Hashem, corresponding to the nine brachas of Rosh Hashanah, which, oh, by the way, was the same time that she herself was remembered. Hani Esim V'Arba Tatanisa Kenegin Mi. What about on the Tanit Sibor? Now, we're not familiar, because we don't do this, but they had an additional six brachas for Tanit Sibor. You'll see the Gemara in Tanis. We'll see it together soon enough, where it goes through the actual six brachas of Tanit Sibor. So you have now in Tanit Sibor a total of 24 brachas. So can I get me? I'm Rabbi Chaba. Can I get Chavdal? Is Rana Nosham Shlomo B'Shash Yichnes Aron LeBeis Kachay Hakadashim? When after the construction of the first Beis Hamikdash, Shlomo HaMelech goes in to bring the Aron into the first Beis Hamikdash, so he said Rina, and Rashi says it's actually a composite of three words. Right, Rina, I'm going back up to Rashi. Rina, Tfila, and Tzichina, so he said that in a total of 24 times, so therefore 24 brachas of Atanas Dibur. Ihachi kol yumanami, nemrenu. So the Gemara says, okay, so why don't we do that every day? 24 brachas every day. Amos Amrina Shlomo b'yuma derachame, ananami b'yuma derachame amri lahu. Shlomo needed it because he needed additional rachmanos. He needed extra davening. Why? Rashi reminds us, it is a Gemara in Moed Katan, that when Shlomo HaMelech tried to bring the Aron into the Beis HaMikdash, the Beis HaMikdash refused to open its doors. And so Shlomo HaMelech needed extra davening. So on a time where we need extra davening, the Hainu, a Tanit Sibor, so then we're going to go jump up from 18 up to 24. Ushmol Amar Havinenu Hashem Ladas Darkecha Omol Eslevavenu Liira Secha. The Tisach Lanu Lios Gulen V'Rachaknu. I'm sorry. Okay, too much. Okay, Rav says Main Kol Bracha Bracha. Meaning there is an abridged version of Shmoneh Esrei. It's out there. We know that because back in the Mishnah, it was the opinion of Rabbi Yoshua that every day you say an abridged version of Shmoneh Esrei. What exactly is the abridged version of Shmoneh Esrei? So there are two opinions in the Gemara. So Rav says, Me'ein kol bracha bracha, which basically seems to mean that you are going to say all 18 brachas, but instead of going through the entire paragraph with the chasima, meaning just cut right to the chase. Say the chasima and that's it. Okay? And so it literally will be 18 brachas. Okay. That's Rav's version of what the abridged version of Shmoneh Esrei is. Shmuel says no. Shmuel says it's even more abridged. It's more truncated, where it is what we call Havinenu. And the Gemara is actually going to give us, and this is what the mistake I made, I started reading. The Gemara is going to give us the entire Nusach of Havinenu. Now, the way Rashi sees it, it's, you say the first three brachas, like you normally would for Shmoneh Esrei, right? The Avos, followed by Gvuros, followed by Kedusha. Then you say this Havinenu, where basically it is every theme of the central 13 brachos of Shmoneh Esrei, put into one little phrase, and then you wrap it up by saying the three brachos at the end. The bracha of Ritzei, Modim, and Sim Shalom. And so what the Gemara now is going to do is it's going to give us the entire Nusach. And I'm going to go quickly, I'm not going to go slow, but if you take the time, you're going to actually find an allusion to every one of the brachos of Shmoneh Esrei, the central 13, contained in Havinenu. Havinenu Hashem Elokeinu Ladas Darkecha Omol Eslevavenu Liirasecha V'Sisach Lanu Lios Gulim V'Richatanu Mimachovenu. I'm going quickly, I know, and I apologize. V'Dashtinu B'Naos Artzecha V'Nefutzasinu Me'arba Tikhabetz V'Atonu Al Datecha Yishbetu V'Alarishayim Tanif Yadecha V'Yismichu Tzadikim B'Vinyan Irecha U'V'Tikun Eichalechu V'Tzmichas Keren L'David Avdecha. Right, you're hearing all the brachas like it's like speed reading the Shmoneh Esrei. Uvarichas ner levan yisham yishichecha term nikra tatana baruch atzashem shomea tefila. Period. And so that, in that little paragraph right there, you've basically now covered the 13 middle brachas of Shmona Esrei. Light ala Abaye, aman dematzli havinenu. Now, Abaye cursed anyone who says havinenu. Meaning Abaye strongly frowned upon the practice of ever saying havinenu. Now there is another girsa in our Gemara, which Tosfos quotes on the very top of the Amud, and Tosfos says, "Rahachi kaimalan." First of all, Tosfos says that is the accepted halacha, meaning don't do it. You know, it's like break glass in case of emergency. So Tosfos says, don't say it, don't do it. Say the full Shmona Esrei, the Yesh Sfarim. But then Tosfos writes, "Demasde kanimila b'masa." But Tosfos says, however, he has a girsa in the Gemara. We don't have this girsa. Where, if you remember earlier on in the Masechta, Daf Gimel, really earlier on in the Masechta, the Gemara told the story of Rav Yossi, who was traveling, and he said a shortened version because he was al haderech, he was on the road. And he simply didn't have time for the long, extended Shmona Esrei, the full Shmona Esrei. So he said it. So some have the girsa in our Gemara that if you're al haderech, so you could say havinenu. I remember in the old Sidurim, they actually, I'm going old school, but in the old Birnbaum Sidurim, so they actually have havinenu at the end of davening. They actually, he put it into the Siddur. But the new Sidurim, right, Art Scroll, which has taken over, so they don't. They took it out. So, okay.
It's naive.
Right, correct. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel. Kol Hashana Kula Mispal Adam Havinenu Chutz Mimotzei Shabbos Mimotzei Yomim Tovim Mimnei Shetzarech Lomar Havdal Bechon and Hadas. Okay. Even if you're going to opt into this Havinenu, right, you can theoretically say it any time you want, but you can't say it on Motzei Shabbos. Why? Because Atachon Antanu. Because in the fourth bracha of Shmona Esrei, where we start Atachonin, we know that you got to add Atachon Antanu into that fourth bracha. So Maskavar Abashmo Bnei Rabracha Revius Bifnei Atzma Milotan Rabbi Kiva Amar Rabracha Revius Bifnei Atzma. The opinion of Rabbi Akiva, which we're going to see later on the Masechta as well, is that the additional Havdalah that we insert into davening on Motzei Shabbos is its own separate bracha. Okay, we don't see this. Meaning, obviously, we don't pass like Rabbi Akiva. But according to Rabbi Akiva, it's its own separate bracha. So Rabbi Elazar Omer Ba'odah, and Rabbi Elazar says, you put it into Hodah, you put it into Modim. We don't pass like him either. Okay, good. We put in a Tachonain. But in the meantime, however, the Gemara wonders, why not do the following? You want to say Havinenu Motzei Shabbos? Okay, now again, all under the umbrella of, we really never should say it. And Abaye totally frowned upon the practice. But do you want to say Havinenu at the end of Shabbos? Fine. And what's your issue? Your issue is, where are you going to stick in Havdalah in Shmona Esrei? Go like Rabbi Akiva. Make its own separate bracha. So the Gemara says, what are you suggesting? Atu kol hashana kula mi avdinika Rabbi Akiva. Dahashta nami navid. Dahashta nami navid. So we don't pass like Rabbi Akiva the rest of the year. So now, because you want to say Havinenu, so now we're going to resort to the position Rabbi Akiva, who we don't normally paskan like. So Kol Hashana Kula Mai Tam Lo Avdin Rabbi Akiva Tam Nesrei Takon Tishrei Esrei Lo Takon Hachinami Sheva Takon Tam Ne Lo Takon. So, and look, the year round we don't paskan like Rabbi Akiva, because remember, it's 18 brachas, not 19. And so here too, meaning it's 7 brachas, not 8 brachas. So the Gemara now just wonders out loud. What's your issue? Your issue is, we don't say Havinenu on Motzei Shabbos because we have to say Atachon Antanu. The Gemara basically wonders out loud. I don't really understand. Aren't we taking every bracha and truncating it and abridging it into Havinenu? Can we take Atachon Antanu and also abridge and truncate that into the Havinenu paragraph? Well, the Gemara is basically saying, what's the big deal? Kashya. And we've experienced this not so long ago, where the Gemara says, that's a good question, I don't know. Okay, let's move on. Amar of Bibi Barabai, Kol Hashana Kula Mispal Adam Havinenu Chutz Miyamos HaGshamim Mimnei Shetzarech Lamar She'elas Brachas Birchas Hashanim. So now, look, you can say Havinenu, but when it comes time to ask for rain, right, from here, what do we say now? We're holding by December 5th, 4th, whatever. So until Pesach, so we're asking for rain, you can't say Havinenu then, because you got to ask for rain. So maskef lamarzuch v'nechla mechlav v'deshanena b'nas artzecha v'sein talamatar. So the Gemara again, it's the same basic question. What's the big deal? Put it into the Havinenu paragraph. Well, we understand what's so confusing. The Gemara says, you know what? Once you have a paragraph and you basically commit it to memory, and now you're going to add another word to the paragraph, it's going to mix you up. So the Gemara says, why didn't you say that a moment ago? When the Gemara asked the question of, well, stick atachon antanu into Havinenu. So why didn't the Gemara over there say the same thing? So the Gemara answers like this. There, atachon antanu comes at the beginning of the paragraph. You want to make an addendum at the beginning of the paragraph, that's fine. That won't confuse people. But right in the middle of the paragraph, to add something new, it'll totally trip everyone up. The name Rabbi Shomei Tfila. Well, why don't you do this? Why don't you say in Shomei Tfila? Damar of Tanchon, Amar of Asi. Tavlo Hiskir Gvurs Gesham and Betchias Amesim. Machzir Noso Sheila. I'm sorry, Machzir Noso. Sheila Bebirchas Hashanem. Ein Machzir Noso Mim Meshi Yachol Amar Rabbi Shomei Tfila. Look, if you forget, right, Mashi Varuch Mordegashem, and you're now somewhere in the middle of your Shemona Esrei, go back. Go back to the beginning of Shemona Esrei. Start again. If you forget, in the Birchas Hashanim, the ninth bracha of Shemona Esrei, if you forget, instead of saying V'sein Talamatal Bracha, you say V'sein Bracha, it's not so bad. You'll go back to Shomei, you could say in Shomei Tvila. So, Birchas Hashanim, Ein Machzir Nosom, Mim Neshiyach Lomar B'Shomei Tvila. V'Havdala B'Chonen Adas. Now, what if you forget Havdala in the fourth bracha of Chonen Adas? Also not so bad. Because anyway, after Shemona Esrei, you're going to go home, you're going to make Havdalah. So forgetting Havdalah in your Shemona Esrei after Shabbos is not so bad. Okay. So the Gemara now wonders, so why not do the same thing over here? Tashani, the Gemara says, because it's different. Here we're talking about somebody making a mistake. But to actually institute an addition, an addendum into Shomei Tefillah, the Gemara says that we're not interested in. Okay, the question that you should really wonder, and I'm going to articulate the question. You forget Mashiv Aruch Amorda Gashem, you go back. Right? You can't make up. You can't even make that up in Shomei Tzvilah. But meanwhile, instead of saying V'sein Talamat Avracha, if you say V'sein Bracha, it's okay. When you get to Shomei Tzvilah, you'll add it in over there, right in the middle of the Bracha of Shomei Tzvilah. What? What's the difference? Hey?
There's also the word bracha in the initial.
Okay, so Rashi over here and Tosos both say the same thing. And it's important. Rashi says, it's towards the bottom, it's the fourth to last Rashi on the page. Rashi says, Gvurz Kishamim Haskar Ba'almahi. Lefichach Machzir Naso She'enu Tfila. She'yachol Omer B'Shomea Tfila. Interesting. And Tosos, by the way, you see Tosos, he says the exact same thing. You see, Mashiv Aruch Amor Degeshem, that's not a bakasha, that's not a request of a Kash Baruch Hu. It's what the way Rashi describes it, Hazkara Ba'alma. It's that we are at that point in time praising a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And you know what? If you didn't say Mashiv Aruch Amor Degeshem, you didn't properly praise a Kadosh Baruch Hu. You can't make that up in Shomei Tefillah. Shomei Tefillah, that's a request. That's a bakasha. So now you forgot Mashiv Aruch Amor Degeshem. You're somewhere in the middle now of your Shemona Esrei. You can't make it up in Shomei Tefillah. So you know what you do? You got to go back to the beginning. And by the way, back all the way to the very beginning of Shemona Esrei. Start again. Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melkeinu V'Seinu. But if you forget V'Sein Talamata Levracha, and you instead say V'Sein Bracha, that's not so bad. Because that's a bakasha, that's a request. All requests can be made in Shomei Tefillah. Now granted that this one happened to have had its own particular bracha, but it really is fundamentally a request. So if you forget it then, and you're now in Shomei Tefillah, and you remember that you forgot back then, so good. So now you can start it again, because Shomei Tefillah anyway is a series of requests. So here you can add it into Shomei Tefillah. So an important Rashi, an important Tosfos, an understanding why for the four words of Mashiv Aruch Amor Degeshem, you got to go all the way back, but you forget the Sein Talamat Levracha, it's not so bad. If as long as you remember by Shomei Tefillah, you can insert it into Shomei Tefillah. Okay, we'll have to stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up from the very bottom.